City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 186. I'm Amy Matheny, and hey, folks, the big gay night of the year was just passed. The Oscars, the 80th anniversary of the Academy Awards, and it was a very big star-studded night. And kind of a tradition in my household is to always watch the Oscars with my partner, Kelly. And sometimes we have people over, but since I just flew in from Jamaica, man, yes, just got back from my tropical trip to Jamaica. I'm tan. I'm tired because I was delayed. Air Jamaica, very, very no leg room on Air Jamaica. For the tall people, it's not a good thing. Luckily, my partner, who is 6 feet tall, did not go with me. 6'1", actually.
Thank you.
But Kelly's here, and Kelly's going to be on the show with me today because we're just going to kind of give you our... Because we have the TiVo, as you all know, and we have to pause a lot. We have to stop. We have to have commentary. We have to go back and watch stuff. But definitely, this is not the Richard Knight Jr. Experts commentary on the Oscars. This is truly like lesbians... Mystery Science Theater Oscars. So Kelly Simpkins, my partner's on the show. Hey, Kelly.
Hey there.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
You're totally nervous,
you?
Aren't you?
I'm very nervous.
It's a little weird that we're just sitting here talking.
It is weird.
Since we just went through something, are we kind of reliving it?
I guess we're reliving it, and you know, you're very well versed in this kind of stuff, and I clearly am not, so I'm a little nervous.
All right. Well, don't be nervous. Tell me what your overall. Your overall impression. Was this a good Oscars? Was this a bad Oscars? Because the writer's strike, it almost didn't happen. As the Globes didn't happen. The Globes were a press release for 10 minutes.
No, I thought, I mean, you know, the Oscars are typically kind of boring in my eyes.
Yeah.
Generally a letdown.
You don't really care.
I'm jaded. I'm bitter.
You don't
care
about the gowns and the clothes.
I certainly don't really care about the clothing.
Who's coming with who?
That's not that important to me. No. I know it is to a lot of people, but to me, it just is kind of fluffy, and I'm really waiting to just be inspired by someone who just gives a really incredible speech. And there were some real surprises this time, and that was exciting, and I thought Jon Stewart had some very, very funny moments. So.
Yeah, you like Jon Stewart.
I do.
I want to say, you know, one of those...
Hairy hands.
He does have very hairy hands.
Very
you kept saying that.
Ape-like hands that I was a little taken aback by frequently while watching.
You know, it's interesting because we talk about the fact of, like, you don't really care about who's coming with who or what people are wearing, but the big gossip, because I was reading, I don't know, one of the
You're
magazines.
You're into the gossip.
I'm into the gossip. And one of the magazines, I think it was Us or OK or one of those magazines that Us or You're OK. I don't know.
That's Melanie Beatty's book. I'm OK, You're OK.
I'm OK, You're OK.
I don't know whose book that is.
But the big thing was that there was this big pre-party. And... this big pre-party hosted by the invitation, they showed a printing of the invitation, and the invitation had like 20 names under you're invited, and it's something like a $12,000 ticket.
We weren't invited.
We were not invited. But who were on the letterhead for the invitation? you know, if you get those gala invitations, they have the lists of all the people who are hosting it.
Right.
Well, and there are only 20, like, A-list actors. One is Jennifer Aniston. They're in alphabetical order. And the other is Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie as a couple. And everybody was saying this was the, at least in Us or OK or People or whatever this magazine was, they were saying this was going to be the
relevant
deal.
News source.
The relevant news source. If Windy City Queercast is not your relevant news source, then this would be. But no, Entertainment Weekly would be a relevant news source. But anyhow, it was Entertainment Weekly. And you roll your eyes. You can't see Kelly roll her eyes, but she rolls her eyes. But they were saying that they've never come in contact with one another. And that Jennifer Aniston probably was not going to go, but she's never missed. And Brad Pitt has not gone in the past couple of years. But when they were married, it was Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt on the letterhead.
Wow.
Isn't that weird? It's interesting, too, when those gay relationships change in the gay elite in Chicago or New York and those names change. Because you see the coupledoms not become coupledoms.
I don't know anything about that. I'm not a Chicagoan. But,
well, you're probably in New York. Maybe you and an ex had your name on something. Or
I didn't have my
name
with
anyone. You've been at the Kodak Theater with an ex.
I have been at the Kodak Theater with an ex.
You were the Emmys with, so don't act like you haven't walked somewhere kind of high profile with somebody.
I walk a lot of places.
All right.
When you don't give me the car.
That is true.
Take note, audience.
All right, so you were saying that you thought there were some, you are looking for inspiration and things that inspired you. So what is the biggest inspirational moment for you of the night? Because I know we have some categories that we're both very excited about the winners.
I think we're both surprised by a few things.
We were not in disagreement, were we? I mean, we had a bet going.
We had a bet going. For Amy lost.
Well, we had a couple of bets going. I lost both of them.
What was the $5 bet that I lost?
Well, the bet that you won, and you've been saying since we watched this, and I think I've talked about this on a Queercast, that Marion Cotillard, you said...
I said it first. Well, maybe other people said it.
I'm sure Entertainment Weekly or Us.
Somebody might have said it, but we watched this movie in November here at our house. And as soon as it was done, I said, that woman's going to win an Oscar. And you said, no, she's not. And Mercedes,
I said, nobody will know a French actress. She should win it, but she won't win it.
And the two people in our household, our guest that was staying here and Amy, said, absolutely no way. And I'm here to tell you, Mercedes Herrero has to come up, cough up $20
there
because I was right.
Yes, the Windy City Crackhouse does not promote gambling at all in any kind of way. Illegal gambling. No, but it's true. You nailed that one. And obviously she built momentum and won the Golden... Didn't she win the Golden Globe?
She's, I think the SAG. She won the Globe.
Yeah. So I think that it felt like she was gaining momentum and like, oh my God, this may actually happen. So both of us, I think...
Not momentum like Obama has momentum.
No, not that kind of... Not Obama-mentum. I can't say that, can I? I just did.
Obama-mentum.
Oh, Obama-mentum.
Maybe you should change the signs to Oh Mama.
Oh Mama.
And a Mentos, a little picture of Mentos. And he could give out Mentos to all the mamas who come to hear his speeches.
I think that would be good.
Oh Mama-mento.
I think that would be good. So,
but Amy is kind of shuffling under the rug the fact that she lost the Oscar pool to me.
I did. But we didn't have a lot of people here tonight.
What did you win the $5 on?
I don't know.
We had a little bet. I said, I'll bet you $5.
We had a side bet.
We had a side bet. It's always good to have side pools.
Oh, I don't know.
I would say, as per your question long ago, that I loved that the two people... who wrote the song for the film Once, which we saw a couple weeks ago, that we both loved, won that Oscar.
Falling Slowly.
Falling Slowly, and it's a song that I love, and I thought they were very inspirational and really happy and genuinely surprised and lovely.
How fun that Jon Stewart, like, let the girl, because you were so upset.
I was very upset.
That the girl didn't get to speak. Why doesn't the woman get to speak, you said.
And it happened several other times, well, maybe a couple other times, the Oscars. It always happens where if there's a man and a woman, and the man speaks, the woman will get the music, and she'll be escorted off as quickly as possible.
Or if you're a Cohen and you're a male, you don't speak at all.
That's true.
But you really don't care to be there.
They brought her back on, and I think that... I don't know that that's ever happened in Oscar history. I don't know what happened, if there was fisticuffs backstage or if he just felt...
I think he just really loved the film and was so happy about it. It was such a true moment. It's funny, we speak about the Coens, and that's one place where their lady, Frances McDormand, man, she is just... She just does the women proud, doesn't she?
She was thrilled to peaches about
that. Because she's kind of an honorary lesbian.
She was much
lesbian.
More thrilled than her husband, who barely had a pulse.
She's like got her fingers in her mouth and whistling and bouncing up and down in her chair.
She's
an honorary bisexies because of Laurel Canyon. And
bisexies.
Bisexies. If you haven't seen Laurel Canyon, Run, Don't Walk and get that. Of course, most of you have seen Fargo, but man.
Very sexy in Laurel Canyon.
Yeah, she's very sexy in that movie. I guess also something that was a really big moment for the Oscars this year is Freeheld. Freeheld is this short, and maybe you were watching the Oscars and you didn't even know that there was a gay film, because this is like the most un-gay season we've had in a while with the
other than Scott Rudin and Capote.
That was a nice moment. Yeah, you're actually
that
right. I guess the last moment, we kind of got right in there in the end.
We got the gays at the caboose.
We got the gays at the
where
caboose.
We always get the
from
gays.
The most powerful
at the tail
gay
end.
In Hollywood. Yeah. don't go there.
Don't,
I'm not
okay.
going to go there. Let that easy one pass. I don't talk about the boys' ends anymore. It's done. But yeah, obviously, that was really awesome that he thanked his partner. But right in the middle... in a category you may have left the room to go, well, I don't know, go do something if you don't have TiVo. It's kind of those categories we don't really care about because we don't either know much about them. I think some like the sound categories or categories of short animation or short documentary. Because if you don't live in a city like Chicago, or maybe you get to, or major cities where there are film festivals and you get to see a series of short films, you don't just go to the film to see a 30-minute film. They have to come on television or... on, you know, on Cinemax or HBO or Showtime. And we did this news story not too long ago when the nominations came out that Freeheld was nominated for Best Documentary Short. It's a film by Cynthia Wade, a straight woman who was turned on to the story of a woman named Laurel Hester, who in California discovered she had cancer.
New Jersey,
sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's okay.
That's why you're here. Because I make this shit
for
up.
The details.
I make up this shit.
She lived in Johannesburg.
That's right. But she was a cop and wanted to leave her pension to her partner. And
she had cancer. She was dying of lung cancer.
And they wouldn't allow her pension because it wasn't her husband. She wasn't legally married to go to the partner. And so this battle ensued to try to get this changed. And I guess the... Freeholders is the name of this five men committee that makes this decision. And a 30 some odd minute film was shot about it, really moving, was presented at a lot of gay and lesbian film festivals. But this thing really, I heard so much about it. As soon as the nomination came out, just things exploded that kind of rose this. It was the cream kind of rose out of that category that this was really a front runner. And I thought that was a really nice moment, too, of the speech of, shining light on the discrimination held against same-sex couples still in America, and that this woman recognized that just because I'm married, that I can give my money to whomever I want to. Like, why shouldn't you be able to give your pension to anybody? I don't even think it has to be your spouse. Like, why couldn't you give it to...
your nephew or...
Yeah, I don't know, but it's
and her surviving
and maybe
partner
you could
was
give
there.
It to a, you probably could give it to a related person.
Right.
I think it was the unrelated, the lack of relation, I guess, is what maybe.
Yeah, and it's still shocking to those of us who, those of you who would listen to this podcast who are in the gay inn. It's never ceases to be shocking and amazing that these things happen, but seems like a really... I haven't seen the short film, but I'm sure you and I will see it very, very soon. It's coming on Cinemax,
so.
They said.
Yeah, good plug there.
Very good plug there, but that was really exciting that they won, and hopefully we'll really increase the visibility of those kinds of stories, which I think is really important.
And we have still not watched our copy of No Country for Old Men, which we
haven't.
So now we have to watch it because it won all these awards. Can we talk about like people that we just think are weird and freaky that were on the show?
We can, but
should I digress yet?
Can we say one more thing that Tilda Swinton won for Best Supporting Actress? And that was a really shocking moment.
I did pick that one.
And Amy picked that one. I picked Amy Ryan because I thought she was kind of a lone wolf. I still can't say that word. Wolf. And she didn't win, but luckily Tilda Swinton. I didn't think she had a shot in hell, and she brought it out, and that was so, so super cool.
She's kind of like a genderqueer ally.
She is. She's a very genderqueer ally, and she's done a lot of different different roles. She's played men. She's played extremely ambiguous characters, and is, I think, in the community in her own straight and lovely way, but just really, really cool and kind of on the fringes and a real outsider for this kind of Hollywood fair. So I was really, really thrilled that she won. And
I'm kind of really thrilled with the fact that it speaks well. I think that Marion Cotillard and Tilda Swinton won in the same year.
Yeah.
Because the people I want to digress and talk about now are like all the people that something is happens, you know, that... And we should have this, we should record again in 10 years, you know, if we're still together and if, you know, they're still doing Oscars and there's no strikes. But, I mean, you watch these people, like, my early thoughts of the lovely Nicole Kidman, and just dead calm and To Die For, and these great movies where she's, you know, not only a great actress, but this fresh-faced, kind of quirky, freckly, red-headed... You know, and now she's like a robot. She's like heading towards the John Travolta land, and you thought that like she was getting away from it because she's like moving away from the light of Scientology. You know, Katie Holmes now is going to start having that look, I guess. But I just thought, you know, Botoxed and odd, and she's supposed to be pregnant, and she couldn't look any more thin and not healthy. I don't know. I mean, she definitely looks like a supermodel kind of, but a 20-year-old supermodel, which is a little strange. And then we have Hilary Swank, which I don't know, I looked to you and said, you know, did I love her at Boys Don't Cry like so much, and was I wrong? Because I don't know why she bugs me now. Why does she bug you? You have an opinion on this.
I don't think we have enough airtime.
Well, no, we have all the airtime you want. That's what's lovely about a Queercast.
I was...
Because you have a lot of, I think, rightful... What you said tonight, which I didn't know you felt about her, about like what she did after she won Boys Don't Cry, that was disappointing to you and actually pretty horrific to you.
Yeah, and I've had some of my own gender ambiguity in the past, and actually was approached before this film came out from this woman who wrote a play, kind of a balanced kind of fictional, factual version of the Brandon Tina story, and we never actually did that play. She had to have someone else do it because I was doing another project, but I was really looking forward to the film and really interested in who they cast and didn't know her, and I thought
she did a great job in the film.
Such a fantastic job in the film, and then she won the Oscar and won all these awards, and she was a real underdog for that, but then...
And she thanked Brandon Tina.
She did. She did.
And
I, you know, she's a smart woman, but I was so offended after the film came out that she, and maybe this was her thing, maybe it was PR people or publicity people, but after the film came out, she went on all these talk shows and was really dolled up and really feminine and really, you know, cleavage showing and made up to the nines and really tried to distance herself from that character and had... There was one moment, I can't even remember what talk show it was, but she was like watching a clip of it and just kind of giggling in that girly way that girls giggle, and that's all fine. Girly giggle is fine.
I giggle a lot on this show.
There's
Kelly.
Lots of giggling ladies and girls, is I should say woman, I apologize, because that bugs the crap out of me, and here I just did it. But it's called Girls Don't Cry, so maybe I... No, it's called
Boys Don't Cry.
Oh, please bleep that out. God, no one's going to trust any opinion that I have.
No, but keep going. I want to hear your own.
That she was looking at this clip and basically kind of giggling and saying, oh my God, I can't believe that's me. And I don't look like, you know, it was something really to the effect of like, you know, that's, oh my God, I can't believe that's me up there. And that looks like such a boy. And I just can't, and I don't look like that. And I'm not that person at all. And it just seemed like this very kind of fearful drive away from anything that that character represented for her.
So you saw her just really trying to distance herself from it, as opposed to saying, wow, I can't recognize myself there because I went there and I was around people that allowed me to go there and I was able to...
Perhaps that's what she was saying. That was not my take on the whole.
Because obviously she went back to, I think, something even more butch in a way than Brandon Tina when she did Million Dollar Baby. I found that to be a lot more bravado, a lot more physical kind of butch feminine heft. And yeah, I just have I don't know if it's even really a resentment. I just think she's gotten really good at
working the game.
The game. And when they announced her that she's like a 2-time Oscar, I had to like hesitate and look at you and go, she's won 2 of these things? Yeah. Like when Johnny Depp's never won 1, and there are other actresses that haven't won. I mean, has Julianne Moore ever won? Did she ever win?
I don't remember.
I mean, there's like other actresses who've never won. I don't know. I don't know.
In her young career, it is fairly shocking.
And then you got the Zellweger, who we are seeing is going about to be spoofed by Tracy Ullman, genius brainchild Tracy Ullman, who never ages and can play any age. But Zellweger just, I don't know, there's something so cartoonic. I think that's a thing.
Cartoonic?
Yeah, like ick like a cartoon. That's what that means.
Ick. That's ick, all like that a we cartoon. Mean.
Like that's John Travolta.
Bolt on neck.
Nicole Kidman. And I like Nicole Kidman.
Pod children.
Pod children. Squinty, not like a podcast.
No, not like a podcast.
Yeah.
Not even.
Not like a pod snap, but like. Yeah,
I don't even know what that means.
You don't listen to my show.
I don't.
It's okay. It's okay. I love you anyway.
I love you anyway.
I just use you when I need you, which is like tonight.
Okay.
To talk.
I'm free to be used. Yeah, very, very trippy, wiggy, weird, alien type of people.
But Tilda Swinton looks kind of alien, but I like her. Now,
but
what's the difference?
Because she's a real alien.
She's a real alien.
I mean, she is an alien by
the
virtue.
Peter Greenaway kind of.
She is an authentic, lovely, beautifully weird, odd, ducky alien.
Yeah, she is.
And not because she's had tons of shit done to her face or anything tucked or pulled or any great gown. She, like, has her black thing and her hair's orange and she looks...
Her eyebrows are blonde. She's a little
she
odd.
She looks very odd, but gorgeously odd. And she is human.
Yeah, I love that you just humanly, said she's a real alien. That's so good.
She's humanly who she is. And who knows? Maybe Hilary Swank, to get back to the point.
Yes.
Maybe she was
just... We don't ever do that on the show. You obviously
and
don't
I really... That's but I'm you, a very linear, literal person.
Point,
so
honey.
Maybe she... Maybe I should give her all the credit that someone I've never talked to, never met, never went through that experience should get. But I did not like the way she handled any of her press after that film came out.
Yeah. But obviously...
I thought it was very...
What was her name? Kim... Who made the film? Pierce. Kim Pierce.
Yeah.
Obviously... Is she a gay woman?
She is.
Okay. So she obviously really supported Hilary Swank and thought she was very brave. And they kind of bandied that accolade back and forth. So I don't know. It's interesting. Who knows? I mean, our perception of it is...
It's true.
Probably based on the fact that you and I have not gotten one Oscar yet, and she has 2. You know, we're really...
Or maybe just because
I'm willing
I think
to get
there's
Botox
a
and
way
you're willing to play gender
with...
variant roles. So, I don't understand.
Yeah, or just what that struggle is, and probably knowing people in that community, either people who have transitioned or identify as transgendered and have struggled with that, and that it's not, you know, it's a really... beautiful community and a beautiful struggle to go through and not something that you can just kind of, I don't know, play and then kind of leave and become your girly self again without kind of, you know, keeping that identification and keeping that respect. And maybe she was, you know, she gave a really Oscar, a beautiful Oscar speech,
I
remember. So maybe we should give her some props. But
she was...
My buttons were pushed.
I didn't know that they were. And I don't know that that's why. I just think
and maybe
that
it's my own personal
shit.
Maybe I should take your... $5 for my Oscar winning and go to some therapy and really
maybe.
Deal with my own issues.
Dinosaur therapy. Maybe. Maybe that's just what should happen. Diablo Cody won for Juno. It's kind of really Juno's only award. But I loved that there was just this like naked, sexualized,
titted woman
straddling a something.
Very not far away from her stripping days, a very
rare
kind of dress. That had a very, like, crotch-sniffing slit that she couldn't quite even walk up the steps without meeting. I did.
Oh, you did.
So
you're blushing now.
I'm not.
Cute. Nobody can see you.
She had on a very funky, weird dress.
She
couldn't quite
angry
walk in.
That she won.
We rewound several times because she seemed really pissed.
Yeah,
afterwards.
She like jerked that. I mean, I'm sure that's how Calista Flockhart is with Harrison Ford. Old man, give me that. She like ripped that. She like
old
ripped.
Man.
Harrison Ford is an old man.
All right.
Man.
Well, you watch the film he's going to be in soon.
Indiana Jones. Uh-huh. But she like ripped that. I think she was upset that like she broke it. She couldn't say it. Like to my thing, family and friends for loving me exactly how I am. We love that. The queers love that. Whenever you say, loving me just like I am, an exotic.
The hook
dancer.
Is love that. The strip is love that.
The hook is in the hose. Yeah, all up in the house. All like that. But
do you do that a lot on this podcast?
I don't.
Okay,
it's good.
Good
thing you don't listen because she would mock me a lot more than you already
do. Oh, man, she just got back from Jamaica.
Yeah, man. So, but she did. She like jerked her little envelope and announcement letter out of Harrison Ford's hand and walked off looking horrified.
She did. She looked angry.
I think she felt like she fucked up her Oscar moment or something. Like she wasn't composed like...
Well, she should talk to Ethan Coen.
She should talk to the most composed, beautiful woman at the Oscars. Five guesses. Helen Mirren. Sorry, honey, I would leave you in a red hot...
I would allow you to leave.
...red hot dress. She looked so good. Was it the longest walk that anybody had at the Oscars from back center all the way downstage?
It was very regal.
Very grand.
Very composed.
God,
very
the woman,
dignified. She's just, very sexy.
She's just amazing.
And I would let you go. You have a free pass. You have several free passes.
Everybody on this queercast knows it doesn't matter if you gave me a free pass.
That's true.
They don't know about it.
You
don't listen to it, and I could tell them all about it.
I'm going to listen. I just got my new computer, so...
There you go.
Or the computer that you gave me.
That's true.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm taking you slowly. Come jumping and screaming into the technical age.
To the non-dial-up computer.
But speaking of her...
Speaking of non-dial-up.
No, speaking of her looking like a vision in red. Red was the color of night. I know Kelly doesn't care about the clothing, but...
Woo! Red!
Red was really the color, which I think is always so interesting that everybody wears it because there's a red carpet. So you always think, well, aren't they going to blend in the carpet? But we didn't even see actually much of the red carpet part. But it was interesting that every... You know how they have... Well, maybe you don't, sweetheart, but all you gay men out there and lesbians who are fashion... conscious like myself.
Doesn't mean I'm not fashion conscious.
Okay.
Because I don't care.
But you don't read all those magazines where they go,
so and so was in a
what
couture.
Is the color of the week, or this color is
oh,
hot
I could
right
care
now,
less
or
about
everybody's
that.
In a certain dress. Like red was the color. And they also tell you like this is an outfit appropriate for women in their 20s, but the 40s look is this, and then the 60s look is this. They have that where you can look at them lined up, and we look at somebody like Lindsay Lohan, and then what she wears on a Sunday tea, what, you know, Julia Roberts wears
she ain't
Sunday
having tea.
Tea.
Lindsay
well,
Lohan ain't now. Having tea.
Now she
there
is.
There she is. There's a little nip of something.
No, she's a Sobra right
now. Do you know
now.
She has Sobra? Is she's that like a Libra? Is that her sign?
She's a Sobra right now. She's the only one holding it good.
Do you know she's got some Marilyn pictures coming out?
I know they did. I think they did
come out. Oh, they did come out?
I only saw one of them.
They look interesting.
But anyhow, so they take the women you know in the all three, and then Katie Couric. Like, they'll have, like, three different women, three different generations. The interesting thing was, just from what I remember from watching, because I started seeing, like, wow, she's wearing red, she's wearing red, she's wearing red, was that we had Miley Cyrus, who I think was the youngest girl in red. Did the Chino girl have on red?
No, she had on black, as okay. is appropriate.
Okay. So, Miley
and white,
Cyrus, Hannah Montana, for those of you who are old and don't know who I'm talking about, in her teens, she was in red. In their 20s, Anne Hathaway from Devil Wears Prada came out in red. Really beautiful dress. In their 30s, Katherine Heigl, who looked just stunning. I thought she really looked like Marilyn Monroe.
She looked
Monroe,
beautiful. Very nervous, however.
Why didn't they ask her to do a Marilyn Monroe spread as opposed to Lindsay Lohan? But I guess she didn't have that drug and alcohol problem to really kind of
probably
move
didn't
along.
Have
kind
the
of
affinity.
The, yeah, the parallel there. But Mr. really President. Looked a lot like her. And also Heidi Klum, who I think Heidi is Heidi in her 30s still? She can't be 40, is she?
I don't know. She looks good.
She looks great.
No matter what.
I didn't love the way she looked at this.
No.
But,
you're
it,
out.
The hair.
You're
yeah, she would
out.
Have been a bit out for me. But
not
out.
You're out.
You're out. A vida zay. And then, and nobody in their 40s that I know of. Helen Mirren at 60 looked fantastic in red. And then Ruby Dee at however old Ruby Dee is, because, you know, girl looks good. She looks really young. I think she's like 80. I think she's old. I mean, she's older than 70.
She has her AARP card.
Oh, I definitely know that. But anyhow, I just thought it was amazing.
That was a funny little thing that I just threw
your
in.
Your ARP card?
ARP.
Your ARP card?
ARP.
Actually, I was in Jamaica, as you all know.
And you saw Ruby Dee?
No. I didn't.
You want to smoke? Man.
It's because man asked me, do you want to smoke some weed? When we were like looking at these artists.
This is very tangential, this show, isn't
it? It's totally tangential.
Follow your...
My brain.
Farts.
It's crazy. My brain farts. Anyhow, so I was in Jamaica. I didn't smoke any weed, but a guy asked me if I wanted to smoke some weed, and I was like, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
I know. I'm like Amy Adams out of Enchanted. I could totally, down in Jamaica, walking around like the whitest girl in Jamaica. Why am I even telling you that?
Because Ruby Dee, and then you said something about Jamaica. When I was down in Jamaica, I saw...
I don't remember now.
You lost it.
Oh, ARP. I was at the place that I was staying. I saw this guy. He didn't even look that old. He was sitting on the beach. It was very crowded where I went. And sitting on the beach was this guy. And, you know, people were looking at books and magazines. And I'd kind of walk around and look what people were reading. I found it interesting. A couple women reading Eat, Pray, Love on opposite sides of the pool. One woman, the book that's like, I don't know if it's called
How to Export Marijuana.
No, nobody was reading that. Somebody was reading the Brokaw book. You know, you're just seeing what different people are reading.
It's interesting.
A lot of people were reading, not the newspaper, but the hotel did these abbreviated on paper, like top news stories and categories. And they would staple them and slide them on the door, which when you're laying out in the sun and it's very windy, it's hard to read a full newspaper, which is kind of a nice way to...
Nice.
See what was happening with the debate and the election and sports and all of that kind of stuff. But this one guy, he did not look that old to me. I swear to God, I thought he was like 45 or, I don't know. Maybe.
And he had the ARP newsletter?
He had the ARP magazine, like the quarterly ARP, which my parents get. And I thought that was strange.
That's a
not really
long bridge to that lackluster story.
It's a lackluster story.
Do you ever talk about Nilla on the podcast?
She barks sometimes on the podcast.
But do you ever talk about how beautiful she is?
This is our dog.
She is licking her paws right now, and she looks like a little Eskimo / deer.
She looks like Barrington Bear. Paddington Bear.
Barrington.
The Berenstain Bears.
Berenstain.
That's what it is.
It's a Barrington enema.
I don't know what it is.
And a Berenstain Bear.
Oh, this is... While we're talking about Barrington enemas, we're going to take a really quick break. We're going to do some news. We're going to tell you what's going on in the theater scene. And then we're going to come back and I need an enema. We're going to talk about the L word because I haven't had a lesbian on to talk about it in a while. And you're a lesbian and I know you watch it because we throw shit at the television every Sunday. So we'll be back. Stay with us.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
While lesser men strapped on skates and played hockey, you donned skin-tight leotards and a teeny cowboy hat and learned figure eights.
Going round and round.
You practiced and practiced, hoping, knowing, someday you'd be good enough to wear a giant puppet costume and skate in an ice show.
Welcome to the big time.
Skate perfectly and you're a crowd pleaser. Mess up and fall on your butt and you're still a crowd pleaser. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh Titan of the Tights. You may never wear a medal, but sequins are shiny, too.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
A black Connecticut legislator made history when he announced he is gay. Connecticut Representative Jason Bartlett came out of the closet on February 19th. Bartlett has been out to his family, but wanted to address rumors about his sexual orientation. Bartlett, who is now the sixth openly gay legislator in Connecticut, is up for re-election in November. He also now is one of only six openly gay black elected officials in the United States.
An Atlanta lesbian mother is accused of murdering her former lover with the help of her son. Tanya and Jabaris Miller are on trial for the 2005 murder of 55-year-old Cheryl Miranda. Authorities allege that the mom and son duo killed Miranda because the relationship went sour. Miranda's body was found in her own truck, stabbed and burned.
Pride Foundation announced a groundbreaking bequest from the estate of Rick Wieland, one of Microsoft's first employees who joined the company started by two of his high school classmates, Bill Gates and Paul Allen. Wieland made a gift of $65 million, the largest single bequest ever to the GLBT movement. Paul Allen, co-founder of Microsoft, said, "His gift demonstrates his compassion and dedication to the community. I'm very proud to have him as a friend. He will be sorely missed, but his legacy lives on through the work of Pride and the charitable organizations it supports." Rick Wieland died in June 2006 at 53, committing suicide after struggling with depression.
The draft constitution of Kosovo, which declared its independence from Serbia earlier this month, is now under attack by Roman Catholics for including protections for gays. The draft contains protections for gays in Kosovo from discrimination based on sexual orientation. It also doesn't limit the right to marry to one man and one woman.
A new project by the Gay and Lesbian Leadership Institute hopes to increase the number of GLBT presidential appointments in the next administration. The Presidential Appointment Project aims to find qualified GLBT professionals that could fill appointed positions. The Human Rights Campaign, the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, and the National Stonewall Democrats are all involved in the project.
A California gay man said that he was discriminated against because of his sexual orientation when his gym revoked his membership for wearing a flirty t-shirt. David Cano had his membership revoked from an Elk Grove fitness center after management received complaints about his shirt that read, "I need a man or a date, serious inquiries only," with his phone number. His membership was revoked for disorderly conduct.
L-word actress Marley Matlin joins the celebrity competitors on an all-new season of ABC's Dancing with the Stars. Other competitors are talk show host Adam Carolla, figure skater Christy Yamaguchi, singer Mario, and more. The season starts March 17th.
And ABC has ordered a pilot from the gay-straight duo that created Will and Grace, David Cohan and Max Muchnick. The new comedy will focus on the relationship of the two men, one gay and one straight. The project is inspired by the longtime friendship of Cohan and Muchnick. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Every night at the LaSalle Bank Theater, the curtain goes up on Jersey Boys, and something amazing happens. The music plays and the story unfolds. As the show flies by, four blue-collar kids turn into pop superstars, and 2,000 ticket holders turn into Jersey Boys fanatics.
I love you, baby, and if it's quite all right,
ask anyone who's seen it, like critic Chris Jones in the Tribune, who calls Jersey Boys the most exciting new musical in years. Or Hedy Weiss in the Sun-Times, who says, "This show is pure platinum, a supercharged knockout. Don't wait another minute to get your tickets." Jersey Boys, see it now. Just call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of February 25th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Court Theater reimagines one of the greatest musicals of all time, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel, now playing through April 13th. When carnival barker Billy Bigelow meets mill worker Julie Jordan, fate sends them both on a journey that spans heaven and earth as they explore the limits of love, human frailty, and redemption. For tickets, visit courttheater.org.
Giordano Jazz Dance Chicago explodes on the Harris Stage March 7th and 8th with the world premiere of Moanin' Low by former Joffrey dancer Davis Robertson and company hits such as Pyrokinesis, Prey, and The Man That Got Away. The Tribune says their explosive techniques has fans gasping. For one weekend only, experience the power, passion, and vitality of Giordano Jazz Dance Chicago. Call today, 312-334-7777 or visit harristheaterchicago.org.
Writers Theater presents As You Like It by William Shakespeare, directed by William Brown. All the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. A courtship with a twist, men in exile, a melancholy wit, a clown, a lovesick shepherd, and the shepherdess who spurns him all swirl together in a wildly beautiful romp through the magical forest of Arden. Some of the most romantic and charming scenes ever in this most perfect of comedies. For more about As You Like It at Writers Theater, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847 2 426,000.
The Tony Award-winning musical comedy favorite La Cage aux Folles is playing now at Theater at the Center, conveniently located in nearby Munster, Indiana. The New York Post says this is Jerry Herman's best musical yet. Happier, more assertive, more buoyant than Hello, Dolly! Or MAME. Don't miss La Cage aux Folles. Call now, 219-836-3255, or visit theateratthecenter.com.
Writers Theater presents The Turn of the Screw from the story by Henry James. Time Out Chicago calls it surprisingly and creepily suggestive. An unsuspecting governess is hired to look after two seemingly innocent children who soon reveal terrifying secrets. The Sun-Times raves, eerie as ever, Screw will mesmerize you. For tickets to Turn of the Screw, go to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, this is Lucas from The Clicks, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Everybody comes to Hollywood. They want to make it in the neighborhood. They like the smell of it in Hollywood. How could it hurt you when it looks so good? I lost my memory.
All right, we're back, folks, and yes, we could bash this show every week at least once. I don't even know where to start. I could just, but we keep watching, so there's something going on, and I just want to know what it is for you because we haven't actually talked about it. We made a pact that after like a couple of episodes, we were going to stop watching it this year if it didn't get better, and then they kind of fucked us and teased us, and it kind of got better, like, for an episode or two.
Yeah.
Are we liking the Bettina thing? Is that what's keeping us hooked?
That, two words
Tina
for me.
Tina got skinnier?
And Jennifer Beals.
Jennifer Beals.
That's why I continue watching. Yeah, really? Even though her hair is looking so funky this season, and she is far too thin, but her hair, it's like that hair that my, you know, that comes out of that big space age hair dryer that your grandmother
who
sat under.
Who is the stylist on this show?
I don't know.
We
they need
watch
to be
that.
Taken out and
because with Shane's
tasered.
Hair and
which Shane's is, hair is an abomination.
Yeah, it's a whatever that it's the something for the Shonda. She's the Shonda for the Goyim with that hair, is what Sandra Bernhardt said. Shonda means like an embarrassment. She's an embarrassment right. for the non-Jews with that
All
hair.
All right, so that's absolutely true. Why do we watch it? I don't know. I keep thinking we're going to... that something is going to massively just elevate.
But so they're getting us. I mean, they're getting us because we all watch it and we hate it and we talk about it.
Well, it's very difficult to have one show that is quote-unquote exclusively about the lesbian, a, not the, a lesbian, particular lesbian-specific lesbian community, that there's only one of those on TV, and you kind of feel like it's a betrayal of something not to participate in it on some level, I suppose.
And do you like any storyline this year? Kelly McGillis as the very...
No, that's abhorrent.
That's abhorrent.
It's not abhorrent.
That was like tonight when you were like, she was... Tasha's in there beating the bag and the little is going on and you're like, watch it. That's going to be Kelly McGillis. That's going to be Kelly McGillis. And then Kelly McGillis.
Yeah, it was like Hilary Swank was her body double in that.
The edit was like Kelly McGillis said it one time and then turned around all sweaty.
In the $1 million. Yes.
Just around her neck. Who sweats like that? Who sweats just around their collar neck?
Everyone in the movies, clearly.
It's so strange. That's not how people sweat. Women would sweat between their tits first. So you'd sweat like down below your...
You didn't get to say tits on your radio show.
I think... Could I say tits on my radio show? I don't know.
I don't think you could.
But between her boobs... I hate that word.
Boob bridge...
I don't know.
Drippage.
Between the cleavage is where you would sweat first as
cleave
a woman.
Cleave-do.
Your cleavage. Please don't ever say cleave do again. But between the breasts is where you'd sweat. First, you wouldn't sweat around, like, unless she got, like, some really awful neck issues.
She was hitting that bag. She looks so dykey. Dykey, that McGillis.
She looks really
there
dykey.
Were so many rumors about her and Jodie Foster having an affair on The Accused, and now you tell me she's married to a man, but Who you fooling, McGillis?
No, I think she definitely was with women.
Really?
The whole thing was that she was with women. And wasn't the whole argument supposedly with her and Jodie Foster was over Whitney Houston? That's what I always heard.
Oh, for crying out loud. I vaguely
post
remember
a
that.
A comment if you heard that rumor, because that was the rumor I heard, and I actually heard it.
Please post a comment if you are Whitney Houston.
But here's the thing. I think
McGillis is whack.
McGillis is whack. I think that that's true because I heard this. I can't tell how I heard this. I heard this.
Entertainment Weekly?
No.
This
was a long time ago. I don't know if I even read Entertainment Weekly back then. When I heard this, I knew somebody who was in Hollywood, and that person knew somebody who was lighting the accused and was there when Kelly came in and hit Jody, or vice versa. I can't remember who hit who.
Are you spreading lies
on
this
podcast?
And they
had to stop filming for a day or two.
Wow.
I don't know. If somebody else heard that rumor, that's what I heard. And it was over Whitney Houston.
Post a comment if you heard that rumor.
Yep.
Or if you are
Whitney
Houston.
Or Jodie Foster.
So the
or
interesting...
Kelly Butch McGillis.
Kelly Butch. Knock your block off, McGillis.
Yeah, she was...
I think the Shane and the daughter of...
Clementine.
The moonlighting gal. What's her name?
Sybil Shepherd. Clementine.
Clementine and Shane is very interesting.
Yep, I do.
Not
too.
Very interesting. That's
I think it is very interesting. I think it's actually written really well so far.
I think those two have very, very decent chemistry. And there's part of me for some reason that's, I don't know, if I care about anyone, it's, I don't know why I care about the Beals and the...
They both got really skinny though.
Tina
this year,
getting
didn't
back
they?
Together.
They both lost all their... The real actresses, they both lost all their baby weight because they both had children in the past 2 years.
Not their own baby, but their baby weight.
Yeah, baby weight.
They're
I mean,
from having
carrying
a kid,
it.
Right.
Yes. They really
very
look...
too skinny.
Yeah.
But Jennifer Beals in those trousers with that little thing that kind of tucks over the little lapel.
She has trouser pants.
She has trouser pants on.
Boy pants.
Very, very sexy in the boy pants. But the show is just... I don't know why we continue...
I don't know.
We're expecting... It's why do we continue watching the Oscars when there's typically nothing...
Oh, I watched
Oh, and what's his name? Tripped. I thought that was very funny.
Colin
Almost
Farrell.
Tripped. That's... Colin Farrell slipped around. I thought that was
yeah,
kind of
cute.
He
made a little bit out of it. He made a little bit out of it. Well, I don't know. I mean, I wonder if there are going to be any... I heard that for those of you, you know, wanting to see these lesbian storylines, I have only heard briefly that there's a show called Army Wives... which I don't watch. It must be on Lifetime or Oxygen or one of the women's channels. We or I don't know. But I think it gets it's a big cable show. And Renee O'Connor from Xena is going to play a lesbian on it. This is the news I get from Die. So I'll check
source
that out.
Source O Lesbian News.
Yeah, that's the source of lesbian news. Die is. But so I don't know, but I mean, it looks like we're looking for our lesbian images everywhere. I think it's why it's great when there's a film like Freeheld. It's great when, you know, we need our big, we do get to have our big, well, I guess you could say The Hours had lots of lesbianism in it.
Mm-hmm.
Sad, tragic, suicidal film that it was. I mean, one of my favorite films. I love that movie and I love that book, but the lesbian imagery is harder to come by, isn't it?
It is.
And so we hold on to those and I don't know. I wish that we had another show. I agree, different representation. Just sometimes wish that I feel like
less superficial. I mean, it's a soap opera.
It's
why
a soap.
Do people continue watching soap operas? Because they're kind of silly and they you don't need much attention and it's driven by a very specific demographic and kind of sex and titillation and...
But there's not enough sex.
Storylines
Do we have any sex this week?
No. We had a kiss.
No, we had no sex this week. So it's not driven by sex. And the thing of it is...
But
is
a lot
I think,
of them are.
But I think that the thing is that I believe Eileen Chaikin has written some really... There are some really interesting characters on that show. And I think she's cast... some capable actresses.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the problem is the story doesn't let them do what they could actually do.
Yeah, the writing is fairly
weak. And I just think that that's... I think what is frustrating to us sitting at home and watching it is that dichotomy of, okay, these are interesting women. They're full, well-rounded women, minus Jenny, that we're interested in. I mean, I'm interested in the young 21-year-old that Jenny's screwing. I mean, I think that's at least interesting that she'd be this young, hot Hollywood actress. And, you know, I can't relate to the Hollywood actress part, but the hot young thing I could relate to at one point in my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to say yes.
Yes.
And, but I mean, I think we can relate to these women. I think we can, I think the actresses do a really good job. There's no, there are very few, unless they're guest actresses, that come on the show that go, oh, that was horrible. I mean, even when I think of Roseanne Arquette on it, and,
No, there's they've gotten a really high caliber of,
yeah,
actor.
I think that the problem is that I think what we run up against is just these storylines just are not fulfilling. They're just not fulfilling, and the writing is just not fulfilling. I don't even know if it's so much the direction as it's just really the writing is the albatross of the show.
I think so too.
That is so, so frustrating. So maybe Diablo Cody should go write for the L Word. She writes for Entertainment Weekly now, Diablo Cody.
The Last Page.
Yeah. With Stephen King. She's in pretty good company.
Yeah. And now she's got an Oscar, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I agree. I mean, I think that anything that doesn't have a decent script doesn't hold up well, no matter how good the actors are, no matter how good the cinematography or the direction or how sexy they are, how titillating they are, how high-end their clothing is. That if there's not really a there, there's not really a there. And there typically hasn't been a there. And we keep trying to make a quilt out of a lot of frayed threads with this show. And it's frustrating.
Say there, just one more time.
There.
It's very Stein of you. Very Gertrude Stein of you. Just the repetition. That was very lesbian.
There.
There is no there. So, speaking of there is no there, and actually, not even speaking of that, speaking of writers and lesbian writers who I think really are telling great, has told a really great story is on our next show. You're definitely going to want to tune in. Jennifer Storm is going to be on our next show, lesbian writer who has written a book called Blackout Girl, and it's a show that I think is very, very interesting that you're going to enjoy listening to. Just interviewed Jennifer, and he'll be on our next podcast. And it really just talks about her life and her struggles with addiction and coming out. And, you know, and I read somebody like Jennifer, and she's young and energetic, and I think, okay, that's who should be telling some of our stories, like some of the stories that aren't being told. We discussed this too, like why, obviously with Hollywood, we're seeing all these addiction stories coming out with young women, and it's really interesting to see that when we talk about in the gay community addiction, we're normally talking about gay men and crystal meth, or gay men and circuit drugs. And so it's really interesting to have a woman's perspective and a lesbian perspective on that whole cycle, that whole world of addiction and alcoholism. So that's going to be a great show, and it's really an interesting book. So I'm going to wrap it up with that. Kelly, thanks for sitting in.
It was my pleasure. It was nice to be here.
It was very fun, and I have to pay you the money now for your Oscar pool, but I'm happy to do it because of Marion Cotillard, once winning best song, and Tilda Swinton.
And the sweet Daniel Day-Lewis. We can't forget him.
Yes, poetic, he is fashionably very, very distressed, lovely. But he is.
So he's very sweet.
And bad hair, but in this, every time his hair is just a little wonky, he wins an Oscar. So we should watch for hair. Hair is becoming a pivotal moment.
The hairometer.
The hairometer. I think that's a new thing to coin. And, you know, and I just have to thank the Oscars for the beautiful, on my HD television, promenade of Helen Mirren actually coming toward me.
Promenade.
And with you sitting right here and knowing that I can just step up any moment and walk through that television to her, and you'd be okay with it.
I would be. I'd be damn fine with it.
You're good like that. She's good like that, and she's good on a podcast. So, folks, I hope you have a good week. Don't forget to download the next show. You're really going to want to hear Jennifer Storm, and hope you're having a good week.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.